Well, 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 welcome to another week on the Highbury Squad. This is Lockdown Series Volume 2, Episode 37. I am flying solo tonight, but I'm never solo when I have my squaddies in chat. This is Monday Madness. Welcome to the show, everyone. Hey everyone, welcome. It's Monday and I've got my combat gear on. Check this out. I'm going fatigue style tonight. Got the camouflage on just in case someone comes at me. I need to hide behind a bush and defend myself, which I've had to do on social media a little bit this weekend, but that's okay. I'm a big girl. I can take it. I don't have a glass chin. Welcome to my squaddies. Welcome to everyone. Hope you guys have had a great Monday, no matter where in the world you may be. Red-faced, really. That's the sun in California. It's very bright out today. It's a lovely 76. I took Vinny Vieira out for a walk. He wanted to play with the ball. He wanted to do a little bit of dribbling and stuff like that. So we've had a great morning working out and all sorts of fun things. Yes, Arnie in commando. That's a little bit better. Good evening, everybody. Hello. Well, I do have some muscles under here. They're just hidden. I'm going to have to wait to get a tan before I reveal my muscles. Hello, Guna Squaddies everywhere. Well said, Johnny Boy. Hello, Matty K. Good to see you. Hi there, Patrice. Hi, Squaddy Roy. Squaddy Roy, were you the one that came up with the name? I have to give credit to the person who came up with the idea of Squaddies, because now I'm actually getting T-shirts done for you guys, and we're going to be giving away a ton of them. Between now and the end of the season. Hey, Marlon. Hey, Osteoman. Let's see. Who else do we have in the house? Demsek, welcome to the show. I love it, JT. Thanks for doing this. This is fast becoming a daily ritual. I do love it. All right. I like that Squaddy Roy's admitting that he's jumping on the coattails right here. Let me go a little bit up to the top. To say hello to some of our other regulars. Let's see who is in the house. Of course, we've got my girl Amesy. Welcome, Bib. Hope you're good. Bargav, hello. I am the Lone Star tonight, hence the combat gear. I'm ready, just in case. You never know. You got to be ready for all of the action. Thank you to all of you who's joining me tonight. JS has already got his answers in chat, by the way. So we're going to have to go. I'm going to have to swing back up to the top to be able to share those with all of you. Nana, good evening. Hello. Victorious one. We are victorious. Another victory. Beat Benfica. We beat Leicester City, the media darlings. Did you guys see what John Cross wrote about in the Mirror today? I had a little, not a pop at him, but I just said, I'm looking forward to the Spurs article in terms of how they have progressed since this so-called Pochettino project. We've won 4 FA Cups. We're still in the Europa League. We're still in with a shout at top six. And Mr. John Cross wants to write about how Arsenal have kind of not improved in the last 3 years. Look, I know we're not great in the Premier League, and of course our league position is poor, but come on, let's be honest, right? Okay. Yes, the mighty Sophie is back. He could have lost it. You're right. Maybe it's because he's lost his contact behind the scenes, Newman. That could be the one. Comrade Gunner, victorious one. I like that too. Mr. Soko, good evening. Hi, David. Hi, Franklin. Good evening to everyone for joining me. Thank you so much. Hi, Bernadette. Where are you watching? G.I. Jane. Yes, I love that movie. Demi Moore. I won't be shaving my head anytime soon, though. Although I have felt like doing that during lockdown, I am not going to lie. Love you too, Onkar. Thanks for joining. And hi, Steffi from New York, one of my favorite cities in the world. And it will be a great show. You know why? Because you guys are my co-hosts. Hi, Ayo. Hi, Fish. Hi, Daniel. Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. I so appreciate it. Roy, Simon, Martin. Yes, the squaddies are in town. Wait till you see these T-shirts we're putting together. You guys are going to love it. As you know, this is the podcast that doesn't ask for super chats. We ask nothing of our listeners. In fact, all we want to do is give to you guys as much as we can. And I tell you something, you got to be happy with this week. with football prizes. Here we go. Are you ready? Footballprizes.co.uk, our sponsor, really great team that over there, Bill and Ash, love those guys. This week, it is a Kieran Tierney signed and framed Arsenal shirt. And here's the scoop. One of our listeners wrote and said, can't we get a code for Highbury Squad? And I was like, shit. Why didn't I think of that? Of course we should have a code for the Highbury Squad and the Squaddies. So here's the scoop now. You get 10% off if you use code SQUAD10 when you go to at Football Prizes or go to the website footballprizes.co.uk. Plug it in. You get 10% off. Anyone who's bought a ticket, we're going to honour that for the next one, okay? And we'll take care of you. Don't you worry about it. But Kieran Tierney, signed frame Arsenal shirt, future Arsenal legend. How about that? That is the one we're giving away this week. Okay, tomorrow we've got Kevin Says. Wednesday, we're going to do our Arsenal Best 11. We've got the fan forum on Friday. So make sure you email us at thehighburysquad@gmail.com if you want to be part of that. Right, let's get stuck into the business, shall we? Let's get stuck into today's show. PG, hello. I hope you had a good day. Look after my girl, please. Unfortunately, Casey and I can't make the show. Well, I think they've realized that already. But that's okay. I put my fatigues on, but I've got my squaddies covering me, looking left, looking right. I think we're just going to be fine. Smash the likes up. Thank you so much. Right, let's get down to business, shall we? It's been quite a week for Arsenal. It's been quite a season already for the Arsenal. And it's the Monday Madness show. We've got five subjects, 5 minutes for each one. So I need you guys to be quick and fast today in your opinions and your thoughts, okay? Here we go. After a great win at Leicester, here's what we're talking about today. All right, it's the Monday Madness top five talking points. Join the conversation, have your voice heard like you always do. Number one, who has become Arsenal's most important player? Who has become Arsenal's most important player? And I want you guys to think about this a little bit deeper than just Saka, okay? Because I think that's the obvious choice right now. The evidence is clear as day, though. There are some players that have become fundamentally important, but who has become the most important? Did we miss Tierney more than we miss Saka against Leicester? For example, we went on a bit of a we won with Tierney, we won without Tierney. We beat Leicester without Saka. But when Tierney's missing, to me, it seems like there's a definite imbalance in the team. And that's probably because we don't have a proper left-back cover, right? Have we missed Thomas Partey in midfield and seen the difference when he plays? Even though it's 15 to 20 minutes, you can often see that when Thomas Partey isn't playing, there's that gaping gap. Xhaka's improved playing alongside Thomas Partey. We've seen what missing him already means to the squad. Have we missed Aubameyang's goals? He's been in a slump this season. He's had a resurgence over the last few games. He's more involved. He's more energetic. He's scoring again, which is so important to the squad. Dare I say, and don't shoot me, I'm wearing my combat gear, Xhaka's improved immensely this season. We've actually seen how poor we are when Xhaka doesn't play. It might be a stretch for some people, but the results are definitely in the Arsenal pudding when it comes to someone like Xhaka. All right, 150 of you in chat. Let's get to some of your responses here, okay? Keep up with me because I am flying solo tonight. So let's see. I want to go back up to the top because JT came in really hot with his responses and stuff, although I think they've been lost now. So you might want to repost them. Demsek thinks ESR is very important, links the strike to the midfield. The problem, though, Demsek, with ESR is that he is injury prone, okay? And I think we're going to need to make sure that we have cover for him. I'm not sure we can rely on him as much. This is what worries me a little bit about Kieran Tierney as well. I hope and I pray every single day that Tierney's not going to be a Jack Wilshere who gets injured often. But I do think that ESR, as he's growing into the team and as he's evolving into the team, I think that we might need to consider someone who's a bit more experienced who can start as the new season kicks in versus ESR. thank you very much for that one. I'll be your wingman too, BX Gunner. Let's look at this. Jacob says, where's Jacob gone? He thinks Thomas Partey. Let's take a look at these. Thomas Partey from Jacob. It's a great question. Thank you very much. Taib says party. I have to say that when party doesn't play, we look a little bit lost in midfield. Carl thinks party. Jim thinks party. Let's see what Van says. I think it's Saka with Partey and Tierney close behind, but Arteta may see it as someone like Xhaka. You know why? Because every team needs a glue. Every team needs that unsung hero. It's a little bit like Fernandinho in City. Kevin De Bruyne, Sterling, Jesus, now Foden, they all get the plaudits. They all get the glory, right? But someone like Arteta, having been at City and knows how creatively he wants to play, especially if he wants to play in the 4-3-3, he knows that maybe he doesn't have all of the talent that he needs right now to be able to execute that. So someone like Granit Xhaka can become really important. Sonny, thanks for joining the show, mate. David Luiz on and off the pitch. Thank you for your compliment as well. There's something about David Luiz, and you saw that in the game against Leicester. I said this on the show last week, and we talked about it when he was offered that extension, that one-year contract. David Luiz is the kind of player that makes mistakes, yes, but at the same time, he's also very important in the dressing room and off the pitch as well. He can put his arm around people. Look, he's suffered adversity too. He's in that Brazil team that suffered humiliation against the Germans, but he's also been part of a national team that's done well. He's been part of Chelsea that have won at every single level. So David Luiz does become the type of player that you may not think, oh, yes, he's important to Arsenal, but there's also certain players that become important to the club because of what they do for young players. Simon thinks it's Tierney. Let's see. Nilola thinks it's Saka. Tristan thinks it's Partey. Let's have a look here. Martin says, is that Xhaka or Xhaka? Saka, Xhaka, or are you combining the two and doing a Brangelina? Not quite sure right there. Scriv says Tierney is missed more than Saka. There's something to be said about this, and I tend to agree, because we've seen how on that flank we've suffered, because what Tierney provides is pace, his confidence going forward. Granted, he's been caught a couple of times this season defensively, but what Arsenal defender hasn't? It's what he provides more so from the creative point of view. What I loved about Tierney last season more than anything was that over the ball, we played this plan B, this second option, where he was able to pass that ball over to Oba. We saw that against Liverpool in the Community Shield. You know, so there's a versatility to him that he can provide. I do think he can still even improve on his crossing, but to me, Tierney's really important. Onkar says, David Luiz, immense experience. If you think about it, we look so much stronger. It's amazing. I'm actually really surprised how many of you are saying David Luiz. Tierney, our form dipped. Agree with you. Let's see. Scriv, Xhaka. Everyone's spreading Xhaka. I think they're combining Saka and Xhaka together as one answer. Here's one, Leno. Let's not forget, before he got the red card, Leno had 5 clean sheets, and he's had to overcome some adversity himself, in the sense that I'm sure that he read all the stories, and I'm sure that he was seeing on social media as well. Players who say they don't look at it, they do. We all do. And Leno, I'm sure, felt very challenged by the fact that everyone thought they had sold the wrong goalkeeper, and that Emi Martinez should have been the starter. And there's no doubt Emi's done great at Aston Villa. And of course he did great for us, especially in that run up to winning the FA Cup. But I think Leno's overcome some adversity, and I think that he deserves some credit. Sheer luck. Love it. David Luiz. This is amazing. I really did not think that a lot of you would be talking about David Luiz. Saeed says Tierney. Jagdeev says Xhaka. Xhaka, I think, has grown a lot of respect this season. And that has to do with how he's improved, maybe playing alongside Thomas Partey. But I think he's also done better even when Thomas Partey has been playing. Tristan Partey, Stephen says Partey, Steffi says Partey. I think we got those. All right. Okay, you joker, Willian. That's funny. Very funny. Let's see. Johnny Boy says Leno has been great this season for me. And I agree with Matty K. God forbid Leno got injured before. You have to look at the confidence too that the back line play with when Leno is in goal. These are really important things. I think that was one of the things that we saw that where we hugely improved last season was Emi was such a vocal goalkeeper. He was so commanding. And also Emi was really good with his feet. But I think Leno's actually really improved this season. And for those reasons, I think he deserves a little bit more credit than he is getting. I agree with you too that Carl L needs a timeout for picking Willian. Let me see. Let's go up here and have a look a little bit more on some of your answers. I want to make sure I get as many as possible. What about Gabriel Martinelli? Why isn't Arteta playing him? Listen, I don't know if we know the answers to this yet. And good evening to 200 plus of you in chat. Thanks so much for joining me. Flying solo tonight. And it's supposed to be 5 minutes on one question, and I'm already still 15 minutes in on the first one. So we're going to move on in just a second, but you guys are firing some really good stuff here. And the general consensus is Partey, Tierney, get liking as well, Saka as well, and Xhaka and David Luiz, which is very surprising to me. So here's the scoop. Let's see what the Gooners podcast. Hi, Mike. How you doing? It's actually Tierney, and we'll be more and more about him later because of his leadership on the pitch. I also think that it's Kieran Tierney for so many reasons. I think he galvanized the comeback against Benfica. The way he demanded that ball from Willian, I mean, he literally screamed at him to give him the ball. He was convinced that he was going to score a goal right there. And I think that moment really brought the team together. And he puts the team on his shoulders a lot. He's willing to take risks. And Kay Marlon, I agree with you. A fighting spirit, something that the team needs, tenacity and drive makes him one of the most important players. So for me, I think at this point, it is Kieran Tierney. Some great responses from you guys. Okay, here we go. The second question for you guys. Has Pepe made himself undroppable? Has Pepe made himself undroppable? Pepe has scored more goals in the last 7 games than he did in his previous 21 appearances. And I'm going to thank my good friend James Johnston, who was on our tactical show a couple of weeks ago, for that stat. If you look deeper into Pepe's stats, he's been the most effective in goals, interplay, and assists than any other Arsenal player last season. It may not have been easy on the eye, but he was actually more valuable than we think. He may not have scored, as James said in his stat, but the value he brings to the team and brought to the team, especially in that FA Cup run, was really important. He seems to have risen to the occasion with Arteta dropping him and Willian, since Willian has arrived, and also the rise of Saka as well. He's the most expensive player in Arsenal Football Club's history, which is surprising, yes. But now he's performing like a star. It's kind of like he's gone from a Fiat to a Ferrari. He was undoubtedly the most dangerous player on the pitch against Leicester City. And in the last 6 games, he's played like his £72 million tag. So I ask you this question, squaddies. Has Pepe made himself undroppable? Let's have a look. Xander, yes, currently he's undroppable. However, depends which fullback is behind him. You bring me to a great point. Did he not play better with Cedric behind him rather than Bellerin? And we're going to get to that because that's another question I have for you guys tonight. There is no doubt in my mind that he played with more confidence. He played with more freedom. I think he felt like he had less to do defensively, which made him more expansive going forward. His interplay with Willian was impressive. His movement was impressive. And he won several free kicks, won the penalty. The penalty was a handball, but he almost won a penalty. It was just outside the box. First challenge was outside the box. Second challenge for me was inside the box. But he created so many problems for Leicester. Benny says no one is undroppable. Simon agrees in the sense that if he plays on the right, Cedric has to be behind him. Completely agree. You feel like the confidence just exudes from him with Cedric behind him, right? Why do you want to see Pepe up in the middle? Don't you feel like ultimately, if we're looking, we're going to do our best 11 on Wednesday, by the way, But don't you feel like he should be on the left and Saka on the right? I'm not sure. And a little bit like the Sheffield United game where Saka and Willian kind of mixed up that number 10 role. I think that scared Sheffield United. And I think that type of movement, a little bit like Manchester City play, right? You don't know, they play with a false nine, but the movement makes you feel like any one of those front players is that false nine. The movement is what scares teams, is what puts teams into a position where they don't quite know who to run with and who to mark. And we definitely have players going forward who can take two or three defenders with them. So, victorious one. Psychologically, Arteta has gotten into his mind. Can't drop him now until he needs a rest. I think it would be awful if Arteta dropped him for the Burnley game. He already dropped him and he somehow rose to the occasion even after being dropped after those really consistent four or five games where he played so well. So for me now, he has become undroppable. And it's not because he's the most expensive player. I just think that he's the most, other than Saka, he's the most dangerous player. And what he does is that he puts the opposition in very vulnerable positions. They give away free kicks. How many of our players, you guys, dribble the ball like him? Not many. He's willing to take on defenders and he's willing to take, and maybe sometimes he takes them on more than he should. But I think Pepe has definitely improved. Listen, I've been very critical of him. I had him on my Mount Rushmore of complete flops at the Arsenal just 2 months ago. But I think we have to be as loud in our praise as we are in our criticism. So for me, I think Pepe has to play. And I think we'll come to the next one. Him and Saka are the best dribblers at the club. I completely agree with you, Tristan. And Squaddy Boy, creativity and goals. So I think it's important. Jacob, Sophie, you're right. We're all saying Pepe was good on the left without realizing Cedric was playing left back. But exactly. You have to look at who he's playing with. And he played even better with Maitland-Niles on that right side than he did with Bellerin. I think we'd all agree on that. So it's very important that we set some of these players up to succeed. And when you're in form and you're on fire like this and you're playing with confidence, I think it's important that you stick with the players. Michael says, what I like about Pepe is he's a maverick. Yes. And every team needs one. I completely agree with you. He does hold on to the ball a bit too much sometimes, but I think that's a growing pain. And it's not like he's young like Saka and ESR. He's a little bit older. He's 24 now, I think, Pepe. He needs to understand that. But I think that comes from his Ligue 1 experience where he could run with the ball so much and it stuck to his feet and the opposition was a little bit poorer. So he is able to do those tricks. But I think he's slowly realizing in the Premier League that he can't do that. And he's now looking to his teammates. I was shocked that he played so well with Willian, to be honest with you. I mean, don't you? Amar, come on. He's not average. I mean, I've thought he's been average. But I think we have to also take a step back and say to ourselves, when someone plays well and they overcome adversity, having been really criticized, benched, and to come back and have that performance against Leicester, I think it's important. Sheerluck says, 31 passes between Pepe and Cedric yesterday, only 7 between Bellerin and Pepe against City. That tells you everything. I think the general consensus in the squaddy chat is that he should start. Tristan says Pepe, left wing, Odegaard as the creative midfielder, and Saka. ESR, he's a bit worrying, isn't he? I mean, he's got such a talent, but I just worry about his injuries. And he's, you know, the reason why he didn't play early on was because of those injuries. There's no doubt that he's a talent, but I think we need to have a plan B just in case. He can't play. So, yeah. Let's see. Pepe, he's 25. Misses it. Now's the time. And I think, like, play him. Keep playing him. Keep squeezing him in. Keep throwing him into the frying pan. He's a massive investment for Arsenal Football Club. You can't give up on him when he plays well. You can't give up on him when he has these kinds of games. The influence he had against Leicester City, the media darlings, everyone was like, oh, they can win the Premier League. Are they going to fall like a lead balloon the same way they did last season? Yes, they had injuries, but we didn't start the game with Saka. We didn't start the game with Aubameyang. We didn't have Thomas Partey in midfield. We made six changes. And those players came in and they flew and they won. And we've been very critical of this team, but let's give them credit. They beat a Leicester City side that has been lauded all season. And Pepe had a huge amount to do with that. We'll get to ESR and Odegaard for sure. All right. Fact is, Saka's in front of him now. It's a good thing for Pepe to be challenged. Yes. And also, Pepe can play on the left and Saka can play on the right. You can have Aubameyang down the middle. You've got that creative player behind them. Hopefully a Thomas Partey and a Xhaka in midfield. Cedric on the right. We'll get to the defense later on this week, but you can have a David Luiz, a Pablo Mari in the middle there, a Gabriel, and then Tierney at left back and Leno in goal. I mean, this team is starting to evolve, isn't it? It's starting to come into its own. So he plays well with Lacazette and Cedric. He does look lost with Aubameyang and Bellerin. I completely agree with you, Sunil. Okay, let's get to our next question or subject. Should Cedric start over Bellerin? This might be the quickest of all the sections that we have tonight. Listen, for me, he keeps hold of the ball better. He crosses the ball better. He defends better. He knows when to release the pass better. He can pivot and turn. There was a moment in the game yesterday where he turned and I loved it, as opposed to going sideways and backwards. In the end, he didn't put he put a great cross in the ball, but there was no one there to meet it, which has been one of our problems, even though we scored from a set piece yesterday with that David Luiz header. He seems more confident. He elevates Pepe and a player like Pepe moving forward. I don't think there's any question for me that Cedric starts above Bellerin. Not for me. I think it's clear as day that Cedric should start above Bellerin for the rest of the season. Hi, Alcarp. Thanks for joining us. Sunil says, yes, 100% he should start. Squatty Boy, currently yes, and I think it will help Bellerin step up. Or Bellerin just knows maybe that his Arsenal career, is his Arsenal career over? I mean, if someone's offering you 25 million for Bellerin, are you not taking it, whether it's Barcelona or PSG? That's really good money for a player who's come back from a very severe injury, hasn't really been the same, and maybe his time at Arsenal is just done. You know, life is cyclical. You know, players go through peaks and troughs. Bellerin is our longest serving player now. And yeah, it would be upsetting to kind of lose that history and lose a player like him. But at the end of the day, the football club is more important than nostalgia. I think we all love Bellerin as a human being, what he does off the pitch. He's an amazing humanitarian. He does really good things. But I think that what Eugene says here, play Cedric, it gives the team balance and it improves the team going forward. And I actually think it helps the midfield as well, because the distance between the midfield and the defense sometimes is gaping depending on who's playing. I don't like Elneny playing with Xhaka. Obviously, we love Partey with Xhaka right now. I think we'll all love Partey with Bissouma eventually, if that can happen, or Partey with someone else. But let's be fair to Xhaka, he's improved playing. So when you have a Cedric and you have a smart defender like a Pablo Mari, or you have a Gabriel who's got the pace, who's got the nuance for positioning, you've got a David Luiz with the experience, and then you've got the tenacity, the passion, the drive, just the overall talent of a Tierney. It just seems like more of a balanced team. So for me, he plays for Portugal. He's won the Euros. I think people forget this sometimes. And he comes with Premier League experience. He played at Southampton, did it well, and he's versatile. He can play on the left. He can play on the right. So Cedric for me. Prisca, Cedric all the way. Let's see. Jacob, agree. Bellerin is always caught out of position and he's slow tracking back. There's times where he's going forward, Tristan, and I agree with you in that you think he's still got it. But it's too inconsistent, you know, and you want to root for him and you want him to do well. But I just don't think he has. Maybe he's ready for a move, and that's OK. I think we would send a player like Bellerin off and give him all of our love and wish him well. And I don't think there's no Arsenal fan out there who loves Arsenal Football Club that wouldn't want Bellerin to do well no matter where he goes. And maybe it's time for that whole Wenger cycle to truly be done and for the Arsenal 2.0 to kick in. The DNA, the culture, all of that, the mentality, like wipe the slate clean completely. And Bellerin has been great for the club, and I think that he's done really good things. But for me right now, I would definitely start Cedric. Okay, let's see what we've got. Martin, Martin, where did you go? Right here. I think Bellerin is still a very good player, but not for the system Arteta plays. If he has someone to cover him and just run on the right flank, he'd be very good for another team. Agree with that. What, Sonny, you don't think anyone would care? Nah, I don't agree with that. I think people care about Bellerin. I think they've kind of grown up with him. So running with the cows, I like that. Runs with the cows. Bellerin's pace was a lot of his game. Exactly. He's come back from injury. He's not the same player. We've seen this happen to so many players in their careers. You know, the Chelsea, was it the League Cup game where he burst forward and he scored that goal and it was 2-2 and he got the equaliser? I mean, there's been moments like that that he's had, and he's just not the same. And Shady, I agree with you, doesn't have the football intelligence that Cedric has. So, and, you know, Cedric's played a lot more international level than Bellerin has. You know, Bellerin's never really featured too heavily for Spain. You guys can correct me on that one. But, you know, Cedric was part of that Euro-winning squad, played with a lot of talented players at international level too. And I just think it's time for a change. So I think we all agree, Cedric over Bellerin. Right, next. What do you think about this one? Number four, Mikel Arteta, rumours to Barcelona. Hello. Seems like the work of an agent to me, eh? I think it's unfathomable right now that Arteta would go to Barcelona. Firstly, they're in trouble. Were they not raided by the police today? To find evidence that there was slander for Lionel Messi on social media. I mean, these elections with new presidents and stuff, it's as bad as a political election. It is grotesque. Promises are made. You know, we're going to bring in this player. We're going to bring in this manager, all to win an election. But I think in this instance, as a new contract perhaps looms for Arteta at the Arsenal, is it the work of an agent to get Arteta what he wants? Or is it the work of an agent because he knows Arteta wants to stay at the Arsenal and he's sending a warning shot in that you got to give him what he wants, you got to support him, and if you don't, he will go elsewhere? Does Arteta really have that kind of brand equity right now? Does he really have the prowess to get that kind of job? Would he really be Barcelona's first choice? Of course, he has history with Barcelona. There's no doubt about that. But I think personally, this is the work of an agent that smacks of, I want to get my guy his deal. There's a project at the Arsenal. Arteta's not going to leave that right now. There's no way in the world. This could also be, as I said, the work of Barcelona, with all of that's going on there right now. But to me, I just don't see Arteta leaving. So let's see what you guys have to say. Matthew, Barca and Arsenal have done rotten business and management have let, yeah, we've done rotten business with Barcelona. They've been on the receiving end of some very good players. But I would also argue players that regret going there. Should we list them? Kleb, Song, Fabregas, Overmars. Who am I missing, you guys? I mean, it's been Vermaelen. It's just been Barcelona, I think. I think that's why I just always root for Real Madrid when they play against Barcelona, because of their tiki-taka tapping. Arsenal players year after year after year. And now they want to go after our manager. And listen, Petit, thank you very much. They want to go after our manager, who, yes, I've been critical of, but just step back. Barcelona are in financial hell right now. They have so many problems. It's not even guaranteed that Messi's going to be there. If I was Arteta, the only reason I would want to leave would be to manage one of the greatest players that's ever played the game. And right now, I just don't see. Yes, I mentioned Petit after. Silvinho, forgot about Silvinho. Aha! The biggest jewel in the crown, of course, Thierry Henry. The history between us and Barcelona and poaching is disgusting. And let's be honest. They're this lauded club, this storied club, this beautiful Barcelona story and all this type of stuff. There's shithousery from them, left, right, and center. It's just a disgrace. And now they're going after the manager. But also, I have to say, I think that this might be, as I said, a way for Arteta to get what he wants at the Arsenal. And why wouldn't you force the Cronkies into this? Force them into committing. He's got to get what he wants this summer if we're going to succeed. If they want Arteta's legacy to succeed, they're going to have to give him what he wants this summer. This is the biggest transfer window for the Arsenal and for Mikel. January is always a little bit dodgy. Yes, we've seen some great transfers, including Aubameyang in a January transfer window. But this summer, they've really got to put their muscle behind Mikel. And I don't think that he's going to leave because of that. Let's check out some of your comments. Thanks to all the 250 plus in chat for joining this evening. This is the Monday Madness Show. You're listening to the Highbury Squad. This is sponsored by Football Prizes. Make sure you go over there and get your ticket for the Kieran Tierney signed shirt this week. We'll be giving a free ticket away on Thursday. Niolola, Arteta doesn't seem like one to abandon a project halfway. Dare I compare him to Pochettino a little bit? Pochettino didn't want to leave Spurs. He had unfinished business there. And he knew he was building a project. And I never like to compare anything to Spurs, but I'm just comparing the managers in the sense that they can nurture young players. They can bring young players on. I think both are teddy bears with a shotgun. They come across as super nice and super cool and super sweet, but a little bit ruthless as well. So, yes, in the press conference, a journalist asked Arteta about his relationship with Bellerin, and then what happened? You can't leave us hanging there. It's like a Dallas Dynasty cliffhanger that you've left us with there. No, I agree with you. He does not get that job at all. Shady, don't believe that. Remember, Barcelona is said to be wanting Mustafi. Media talk. Agent talk as well as media talk as well. Sunil says Arteta is going nowhere. 4 arrests over financial issues at Barcelona today. Who wants to go there and inherit that mess? I mean, I know we're a mess, but they're a huge mess. They're not even we're a hot mess. They're just a mess. So, yeah, I completely agree with you guys. That's kind of a bogus story. This is why we call it Monday Madness, because in my opinion, that is a bit of a maddening story this Monday. I know. Listen. It's not about holding my breath for the summer spend, Ostia Man. It's about whether or not we do it through loan deals. We got to get a lot of players off the book, off the books, right? Chambers can go. Elneny can go. Bellerin can go. My biggest fear is that Lacazette might be sacrificed because he has huge value in the transfer market. But you could argue that we need more of a target man up front. We talked about this on the show with Kevin as well. So it's a little bit tricky for us. Because we do have to rebuild and we may have to kind of do another Emmy where we sacrifice a player because of his market value. And is that player going to be Lacazette? We don't know yet. So let's see what Prisca says. That's been my worry, that we stuck with Arteta and help support him. And when he's ready, yeah, it's a risk. Football's a risk. Every deal, whether it's a manager or a player, is a risk. And these are the risks that clubs take. And unfortunately, these things happen. So we'll see. We'll see. Nketiah should go. You're absolutely right about that. Well, we should sell Maitland-Niles. We should sell Nketiah and we should sell Willock and we should sell maybe Reece Nelson. Reece maybe has more of a future at the club, but these young British players have huge market value in the British market. Like we could get 15 million for Willock if Newcastle wanted him, right? If he ends the season well and he adds value to that team, a player like that should go for 15. We've seen other players that go for a lot more than that. I mean, Maitland-Niles could be, what, an 18 million, 20 million pound player? Am I talking out my arse? I don't know, maybe you guys will let me know if I'm talking out of my ass. But I think these players really can bring huge value. I think between all the players that we have left to sign, there's 150 million in that kitty. So we'll see. Niles, Terry says, Niles, Willock, Nelson all have to be sold. I don't mind Arteta going. I wanted Allegri. Yeah, well, you know, Allegri's not a project guy. He's like, they're money guys, big players. Give me the money. You know, you've got Juventus who spend a lot of money. They're desperate to win the Champions League. Allegri was given the keys to the kingdom there. There's in this time and during COVID, I think in the end, Arteta was probably the right appointment for the time that we're living in. I think it would have been a little bit different if things had been different. And he's also a novice coach, so he's learning on the job, which is not really ideal for Arsenal Football Club to be having a manager who's learning on the job. But we're still in the Europa League. We're still in the shout for top six. Have there been some improvements? Yes, but our league position has got to change. This is where the rubber meets the road for me, where he's concerned. So at the end of the day, it's night, okay? And there's still a lot to prove. I would give him the summer transfer window, and if we're still in the league position that we are come October and November, he would have to go. That is it. And you're right, Torreira could go for 2025. This is what I'm saying. Like, if you put all these players together, easily, do they not amount to 150 million? And then maybe you can go get a Bissouma. You can go get a new right back. You can maybe go get a striker. I think that's the most important thing. So, yes, the answer is Arteta stays. And, yeah, I mean, we would love to see. I don't know. I mean, Sunil, to be honest with you, we these things, and there's so many things written. There's so much association with Arsenal, and there's so much Arsenal want to see happen. But until we see it happen, it's all a moot point, really. I mean, we've been connected with so many players, managers. You know, the Cronkies aren't going anywhere. They're here to stay. So at the end of the day, we're stuck with them. They're not going to sell Arsenal Football Club. We're a cash cow for them. Complete cash cow for them. I agree with you. I'm a huge Lacazette fan. I think he does a lot more off the ball than he does on the ball. I think he's our Firmino. I've said it on this show many, many times. We should have sold him, JS. You're absolutely right. For 20 million. And now going to West Brom, have we devalued his market value? Potentially, yes. I think so. This is what worries me. Like Willock, if Newcastle end up being relegated, does that devalue Willock? If West Brom are going to be relegated, I can't see them surviving. It would be a miracle. Does that devalue Maitland-Niles? And he was stubborn because he went because he wanted to play in midfield. And there were certain demands, rumours that apparently his agent made, and West Brom were willing to bend on those. So I don't know. I do not know. But I do believe that those players have got to go. They've got to go. Arsenal need a clean slate. There is no doubt in my mind that we've got to wipe the slate clean. Right. I have to hustle a little bit because I've got to go. I'm a bit late for another I'm late. I'm covering LA Galaxy, and today's the first press conference they're doing because preseason has started as well. And I said 5 minutes for each subject. I had my clock going, and in typical myself style, we're in Sophie time right now. Completely. Let's do this though. Last one. Here's one for you. Are you ready? Willian, the polarizing subject of the summer. All right, you guys ready for this? By the way, someone on our YouTube channel mentioned that Willian has more assists than Ziyech and Pulisic and Havertz. Granted, Havertz and Pulisic haven't played as much recently, and Ziyech did have some major injuries at the start of the season. Willian hasn't started in the last 2 months. He has as many assists as anyone playing for the Arsenal. If he were to score the winning goal in the North London derby, would all be forgiven? And would he become an instant cult hero? In this season, where we do have the potential to finish above Tottenham again after a few years of finishing below them. If Willian scored the winning goal in the North London Derby, would he get your vote? Does he become an instant cult hero? Tristan, I'd love him in that moment. Claps. Anyone who gets the winner against Spurs is a hero. The only reason I ask this, you guys, is because he's an ex-Chelsea player, right? I think Torreira became an instant cult hero in that 4-2. Shirt off. I mean, that night at the Emirates was undeniable, unbelievable, one of the greatest North London derbies ever in terms of atmosphere. And people expected us to be on our knees. And I was really happy for Unai that night and the team. And we went 2-1 down and everyone was expecting, here we go. Here it comes again. So if Willian does that, does he become an instant cult hero? Let's see. Eugene says yes for the day. Taib says no. Steffi says no because he should have been setting up goals and scoring them long before that. Sunil says, I still want to see more from Willian, who should help us win the Europa League. That's fine. I'm talking about the North London Derby. No Chelsea player will be a cult hero. Hence the question. If it means we end up finishing above them and that victory, we win and he gets that winning goal, I think we all get caught up in the moment, right? For me personally, I would say no. Would I be elated if that goal came and that happened? Absolutely, 100%. So I just couldn't put him in the cult hero status. I couldn't. Instant cult heroes are fickle. But cult hero, there's cult heroes. Anders Limpar, I think, is a cult hero. Remember, we did the show, Legend versus Cult Hero, and we've had a few. Santi Cazorla is a cult hero, I think. I would even put Alexis Sanchez in that bracket. I mean, he was freaking brilliant for us. I'm so bummed, I think most of us are, that we didn't capitalize on that Santi, Ozil, Sanchez era. Get that defensive midfielder, center backs, maybe even more of a prolific striker. Podolski, 100%, is a cult hero. So, yeah, let's see. Sophie, Willian will be a cult hero if only he consistently plays as... I agree. Yeah. It's really tricky situation. I think he would be it. I think he would have the moment. And I think he would... No, they're legends, Kevy Kev. And Henri and Bergkamp, they're not cult heroes. They're legends. It's very, very different. Let's see. Hell yes, I would have fond memories of him, but not a cult hero. Yeah, I think we would all be elated in the moment, and I think we would all enjoy the fact that he was able to do that. But at the same time, I don't think he becomes a cult hero. It's very easy to become a cult hero when the North London Derby is at stake. But Willian, I think, especially being an ex-Chelsea player, and especially talking about how he wanted to sign for Chelsea and then ended up coming to us, I think that changes things a little bit. And he does. He loves a game against Spurs. I would throw him in there. If there's one player I think that could torture them a little bit just based on history, it is him. And yeah, Torreira was a little terrier, but Arteta sent him away, didn't he? Right. That is it. Let's see. What else have you got? So many comments from you guys tonight. Thank you so much. If he hits Mourinho. That's fantastic. If he hits Mourinho, he'd be a cult hero for me. Hi, squaddies. If he scored against the other lot and Chelsea, all would be forgotten, in my opinion. Let's see. The Brazil click. Xander. If he scored the winner against the Spuds and we finish above them and he helps us win the EL, okay, we'll add the EL into that for sure. I agree. But the question was, if he scores the winner against the North London Derby, is all forgiven and does he become an instant cult hero? It's a bit of a tough one because he's been such a polarizing figure, so it's very hard to just kind of fall in love with him, isn't it, when he's been so poor all season. I mean, I hope that he kind of goes on from the Leicester performance and carries on. And it's going to be interesting to see how and what Arteta does for the Burnley game. Is he going to start Pepe? Is he going to start Willian? Is it another game to rest Saka? Do you want to bring Saka in at that point? Is he going to revert back to Bellerin? Will he stick with Cedric? I think a little bit like he did after the Leeds game going into the Europa League game where he stuck with the same squad. I think we might see that a little bit, of course. I think Aubameyang will start. And then, you know, ESR's injured, so Odegaard starts. There's a lot of questions, and I think he's in a very good position now, Arteta, because he's got choices to make and he's had players who have performed better. And Arsenal Football Club love to go on a run in March. So let's hope that we can go on a run in March. And of course, Martinelli. Is he going to get a game? I'm going to save the Martinelli conversation for tomorrow on Kevin Says, because I don't want to ruin the surprise, but let's just say it's on the agenda for tomorrow. So Kev's covering the Real Madrid game tonight. He's going to be back tomorrow for Kevin Says. Some really good responses to you guys on the Monday Madness. We talked Willian and the North London Derby. Mikel Arteta rumours to Barcelona. Should Cedric start over Bellerin? Has Pepe made himself unstoppable? And who has become the most important player for the Arsenal? Some really fantastic responses from you and some really, really good comments as well. Thank you, Matty K. Great solo performance. Enjoyed that a lot. Thank you as always. I have enjoyed you guys a lot too. Listen, you know, it's good to have some of these problems to ask if Pepe's undroppable now. It's good to kind of think that Willian maybe has come into some form. I think we've got to believe it when we see it 2-3 games in, right? It's good that maybe another team is sniffing around our manager. It means that maybe he's doing something right, although I don't believe that at all, and I think it's a little bit of an agent story. It's good for us to kind of look and see who's our most important player now when some players have emerged, like a Tierney, like a Saka, like a Partey, and like a Aubameyang, who's still very, very important to this team. So even though we have a long way to go, I think there are some decent things happening. And like I said, I've ripped Arteta a little bit, and rightly so, and I think all of us have. But the key now is to march on and go on a run. Let's see if we can be consistent. Let's see if we can keep this going. It's very important to have that consistency. So, and yes, Leicester were injured, and yes, they had injuries, but look, Newman, they had injuries, but we didn't have Saka or Aubameyang or Partey. We made 6 changes. Let's be fair, okay? Let's be fair. If Leicester had beaten us, we would have been ripped. Good old Leicester have done it again, right? But we beat them, and they've been very lauded this season. And they've been talked about as being one of the better teams outside of Manchester City in the league this season. Brendan Rodgers, people talking about him like he's the Messiah. So I think that it was good for us, confidence-wise. We've got to build on this, though. We've got to keep moving forward. We can't go 2 steps forward, 1 step backwards. The next few games are so important. We've got Burnley, we've got Olympiacos in the Europa League, and we've got the North London Derby coming up on the 14th of March. Massive game for us. Huge game. So let's be positive. Let's keep moving forward. And let's say if we go backwards, we have every right to criticise why we've gone backwards. But let's not look at that through our crystal football and say, oh. And it's not happened yet. We're coming off a win. We came off another comeback, Benfica, Leicester. So let's look forward and be positive. Tottenham smacked Burnley. Let's see what we do to them. Proof's in the pudding. You've got to put your money where your mouth is. And it's really important that we keep this run going and that we stay consistent. So, yes, just for you. Sokrates Babastadopoulos. He will meet us in the Olympiacos tie. We will be going back to Athens. And on that day, we will be having Greek food, I can assure you. Thanks to everyone who joined me tonight. Don't forget, go visit our good friends at Football Prizes. Get your ticket for the Kieran Tierney shirt. I'll be giving away a free ticket this week, but there's so few tickets left, okay? You guys aren't going to... It's the most popular one so far, the Kieran Tierney shirt. I don't think that's a surprise, to be honest with you. He's just become such a cult hero who could turn into a legend 10 years down the line. But go grab it. Our good friends at Football Prizes, if you put in the code SQUAD10, you'll get 10% off. Let's see. Soph, can we have the next gen on the agenda for one of the coming shows? Sure, of course. We do our player profile as well, so don't miss out on that. There'll be another new one coming fairly soon. So, yes, thanks so much for joining me this evening, ladies and gentlemen. Flying solo. I couldn't have done it without my squaddies. You guys rock. Thanks so much. I'll be back tomorrow night with Mr. Kevin Campbell for Kevin Says. Until then, let's not forget. Who's going to do it for me? I think I'll just do it myself. I was going to get Vinny. Vinny Vieira won't do it either. Always Arsenal.